This one will drive you absolutely mad.
The riots began because the stores could not meet the demands of Sutter Kane's novel, In the Mouth of Madness.
Kane disappeared 2 months ago without a trace.
Isn't the guy that writes horror books?
You can forget about Stephen King. Kane outsells them all.
I need to know if he's alive or dead, and I need that book.
It's a setup. I just have to work out how it's set up.
Kane's writing has been known to have an effect on his readers.
See this? It's a map.
This whole thing has been staged.
You just get out.
This is not reality.
It's all happening for real, Trent.
I know this book will drive people crazy.
Well, let's hope so. The movie comes out next month.
All right, let's wrap up this John Carpenter Apocalypse trilogy. This is your host, Isaac. This is a bonus episode. This is only for the supporters out there. You're supporting the show, so I try to give you some goodies. Here's a goodie. It's the third installment in the John Carpenter Apocalypse trilogy. We already talked about it. We talked about, when I say it, I mean the trilogy. We talked about the John Carpenter Apocalypse trilogy, then we talked about The Thing, then we talked about Prince of Darkness, which was the best of the three. And today, we're going to cover In the Mouth of Madness, which, to many, is the most popular film. They claim this is the best one. It's good. It's great. It's better than good. It's great. It's not my favorite. That's okay. That's all right. It's still great. Today we're going to go through the film plot spoilers. Of course. Of course. But even if you haven't seen it, if you don't care, if you don't like the horror movies, that's okay. Ride along. I'm gonna take you through the story. Is it worth it? Is it worth your time? You know it is. I bought the movie because I've seen it many times. I don't even know what I paid for it. $15, $20, $100, who cares? It's worth it. If you like horror movies, if you like science fiction, if you like H.P. Lovecraft, if you like aliens, it's very good. So yes, it's worth it. And on top of that, guess how long the movie is? It's 95 minutes. You take off the credits, you're at 90 minutes. Boom. Perfect length. The shortest of the three films. Not that the other two were too long. I mean, they were 101 and 109. Well, I got that backwards. I think The Thing was 109 and Prince of Darkness was 101. Perfect length for movies. John Carpenter knows. You know what? Who's the best director of all time? Is it Kubrick or is it Carpenter? I guess I got to give it to Carpenter because he knew how to keep the movie to the appropriate length, because Kubrick movies are like an hour too long. Violating everything that I stand for. But on the same hand, yet Kubrick is able to maintain my interest and attention for an hour past what I normally want. So, I mean, that speaks volumes. So is it worth it? Yes. Who are the characters? Well, there's only really one worth talking about. That's Sam Neill, who plays John Trent, who is the protagonist of the movie. And again, plot spoilers, turn back or forever be spoiled of the plot, because what happens is, you see, Sam Neill is John Trent. He's an insurance investigator, and he is investigating a missing author, Sutter Kane. But things start getting wacky. Sutter Kane, played by Jürgen Prochnow. Fun fact, Jürgen was considered for the role of Terminator before Arnold Schwarzenegger was. So good for him. But, you know, Arnold the king of action movies. Now, the story was written by Michael De Luca. It's not an H.P. Lovecraft story, but it's got so many H.P. Lovecraft elements. That's what everyone talks about. He's involved with a lot of great films. If you go to his Wikipedia page, he's got all these contributions to films like Seven, Friday, Austin Powers, American History X, Magnolia, starring second greatest actor of all time, Tom Cruise, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, which was actually, in my opinion, where that franchise fell off. It kind of like starts getting worse after four, and then by Freddy's Dead, you're like, this is stupid. I'm done. He's involved with Captain Phillips, where you get the infamous meme. The Tom Hanks meme. But yeah, the main, and then Charlton Heston, he's in the movie too. But all these characters play very minor roles, and we're going to go through the film. And like all the other Carpenter Apocalypse films, you don't care anyway. You're like, I don't care. Kill them all. They're all lame. They're all a little bit shitty. None of them are like great people. They're all just like okay, and you're just here to watch them get gat. Now the story, and let's quickly point out before I forget, because we're going to get into the story here. We're going to go in the Mouth of Madness. It's about a missing author whose name is Sutter Kane, which obviously, and he's a horror writer, and this is analogous to Stephen King with the S and the K and the S and the C, Sutter Kane, Stephen King. But there's also a connection there with Kane, the bloodline of Kane. However, it's spelled differently. Sutter Kane is C-A-N-E, and the Kane Enable is C-A-I-N. But I'm not letting that one go by. Could be the bloodline of the Antichrist, because it's all connected to the aliens, the spiritual element of the aliens and the Luciferian stuff. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's get into the film. They start out, and it does a bit of a sort of Pulp Fiction thing. It shows you the ending, and then it goes back to the beginning, and then it catches up to the ending, and then it shows you the post-ending. So it starts out at the ending, and it shows you an insane asylum, and they're dragging John Trent, old Sam Neill. They're dragging his ass in. They got him all bound up with the coat, you know, the white coat with the sleeves tied behind the back. Why can't I think of it? It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying. And they're locking him up. There's some doctors there. This guy named Dr. Saperstein, which you got to like sort of have the captions on and go nerd out on this to figure out, because they don't really mention him. But Dr. Saperstein is a character who's in there for 2 seconds. But this is a reference to Rosemary's Baby. So John Carpenter homaging Rosemary's Baby a little bit here. Well, they lock up John Trent, and we hear over the intercom they're playing The Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun. Now, fun fact about that, in my Alien Book User Illusion 1, we talked about UFO disclosure and The Carpenters, who had a disclosure song. Right? You remember that? And this song, it supports the argument of manifesting reality, which is what this film is all about, which is why it's going to be featured in Use Your Illusion 2. The Carpenters, I'm going to look it up for you. I forget the name of it. Calling All, what was it? Oh boy. Stand by. I need to queue up. I need to queue up some of those elevator music while I do this. Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft was a song by Klaatu that the Carpenters redid. Some people say Klaatu is actually the Beatles. There you go. You know, you don't got to read the book. But yeah, I talk about that in the book. So John Trent, he's in there. He's locked up. He's hearing the music. He's like, oh, here we go. Here's a voice talking to him. And then, boom, we're back to before he got locked up. Now we're at the actual beginning of the story. And the whole film is in his head. There's like meta layers to this thing. Well, John, old John Trent, he's in lockup, and he requests a single black crayon. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back out. I hope I don't confuse you there. at this point, he hears a voice, but we're not back to the beginning yet. Okay, my bad. We're at the ending still. He calls for a single black crayon, and he scrawls crosses all over the wall. Very nihilistic, right? They chose black. They chose black on purpose because, again, we have the same themes of nihilism. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. But that's what these Carpenter films are all about. And again, I'll put the photos on the social medias, Instagram and all that stuff, so you can take a look. So in comes a doctor. Now John starts telling the story of how he got here. Then we go back to the beginning, okay? Well, he was an insurance investigator working for a firm researching the disappearance of this prolific horror writer, Sutter Kane. And he, you know, flashbackville, here we go, and he's in a diner. And he's being offered the case about trying to find this Sutter Kane. When this wild homeless guy with an axe comes bashing through the window, and he asks him the infamous clip from the film, "Do you read Sutter Kane?" And curious enough, if you're following along, Prince of Darkness had a bunch of crazy killer homeless people too. What's John Carpenter doing? Well, if you combine all these ideas with They Live and the communist ideas presented, he's saying we got to take care of these homeless people. They're going to turn into axe-wielding maniacs. They're going to kill us. They're going to turn into Alice Cooper and impale us with a spear. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get impaled by Alice Cooper with a spear. So the news, meanwhile, they reveal what's going on here. They say, oh, there's mass rioting because Sutter Kane, who's a prophet of doom, has made this so. And he's created this religion, this cult, and this cult has gone mad.
Horror writer Sutter Kane, a harmless pop phenomenon, or a deadly mad prophet of the printed page? This was the scene today outside several city bookstores. Police believe the riots began because the stores could not meet the demand for advance orders of Sutter Kane's latest novel, In the Mouth of Madness. When does fiction become religion, and are his fans dangerous?
Only if you count X's.
In related news...
So this horror story, this fiction writer creates a religion, and that sounds very Ancient Aliens-ish, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit of L. Ron Hubbard, sounds a little bit of Morning of the Magicians, which influenced your Eric Von Danikins to write the Ancient Aliens stuff. You see where it all connects with the alien agenda? They're making a religion based on fiction, but it doesn't matter because eventually fiction becomes reality, which is also, by the way, what you saw with the QAnon stuff. They were pushing this whole fictional tale about arresting all the pedos and doing all this stuff, and then next thing you know, things got real, real quick. Fiction becomes reality when enough people accept it. Now, John Trent, he's like, okay, cool. I just almost got murdered by this homeless guy, but yeah, let's do this. I'm going to find this author. So John Trent, he goes into Arcane Publishing, where Sutter writes his books. And he's introduced to Linda Stiles, another character of, you know, minimal significance in the tale. But she's the expert on Sutter's books. She's kind of like his agent. And she even tells him about how, oh yeah, Sutter Kane outsells Stephen King. And we find out that Kane actually disappeared, and the psycho with the axe was actually Kane's agent. And they say that his books have a reaction on some of its readers. And Trent, this whole time, he's rolling his eyes. He thinks this is all a publicity stunt, and he's too highbrow. He thinks horror is trash, which was a lot of people don't understand. Back in those days, horror was trash. It wasn't until Silence of the Lambs came out that people started taking it seriously. Now, conversely, Sutter Kane thought his writings were real, and that's why he disappeared. But this, none of this matters. John Trent's like, whatever, you guys are full of it. This is a publicity stunt. I'll play along as long as I'm getting paid. So John Trent, he goes and he buys all the Kane novels. And he admits, he's like, you know, they start grabbing at your mind a bit. And he starts seeing stuff. He's tripping out a little bit. He has dreams within dreams, Inception type events, which again, if you're taking notes, just like we saw in Prince of Darkness with the dream sequences from the future. He kind of sees the future. The followers of Sutter Kane, they repeat this mantra, he sees you all the time. And Sutter Kane is John Trent has a vision of what to do. He's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut the covers from all these books such that it creates a map which will lead to Sutter's location. Just that easy. So he does this and he's like, okay, I found the map to the fictional town of Hobbs End, which again, if you followed previously, we talked about the reference to Quatermass in the Pit from 1967, which ties into Prince of Darkness and The Thing, because Quatermass and the Pit, they were excavating UFOs up in Antarctica, just like The Thing. And Martin Quatermass was the pseudonym from which John Carpenter wrote Prince of Darkness. And all of this matters because Hob means devil. Hob's End means the devil's end. The devil's butthole. I don't know. It just means the devil. It's all I know. So him and Styles, what a great 80s name. That was big, real popular in the 80s. Everyone was named Styles, real cool. They're driving out to this fictional town that he found on the maps. And John Trent, he starts dropping nihilistic philosophies on Linda Styles. And he says stuff like, the sooner we're off the planet, the better. Then Styles, she goes into this big speech about how reality is just a consensus. Again, use your illusion. Create your own reality. All these things I say.
Styles, can I ask you something? Do you really like working on Kane stuff?
You really like busting people?
Yeah. I bust frauds, I bust phonies, and yeah, I love it.
Have you ever busted anyone you know?
Yeah, sure I did. Didn't make any difference. See, in my business, you soon find out that anybody's capable of anything. If you can think of it, they've done it.
Doesn't leave you much to believe in.
Yeah, but think of the upside. At least it doesn't leave you too much to be disappointed in either. Believe me, the sooner we're off the planet, the better.
Now you sound like Kane.
No, not me. You're the Kane lover.
I just like being scared. Kane's work scares me.
What's to be scared about? It's not like it's real or anything.
Well, it's not real from your point of view, and right now reality shares your point of view. What scares me about Kane's work is what might happen if reality shared his point of view.
Whoa, we're not talking about reality here. We're talking about fiction. It's different, you know?
A reality is just what we tell each other it is. Sane and insane could easily switch places if the insane were to become the majority. You would find yourself locked in a padded cell, wondering what happened to the world.
And it wouldn't happen to me.
Well, it would if you realized everything you ever knew was gone. I'd be pretty lonely being the last one left.
Now, this also has echoes of the film with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, Trading Places. When you hear her talk about how his place in the world could change real quick if he found himself in a padded cell simply because his reality was turned on its head, which, of course, you know that's what happens to him. And I say that because in Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, he's like a homeless dude, and these old rich white guys do an experiment and they want to like turn his world and want him to swap positions with Dan Aykroyd. Eddie Murphy, whose name, by the way, I think is Billy Ray Valentine, just like my friend Billy Ray Valentine. I think. Is that true? I think it's true. I'll have to ask Billy Ray if that's his real name. Anyhow. Okay, so they're driving and they start to notice reality slipping quite a bit. They pass a guy on a bicycle twice. They're flying through the clouds. Again, they're in that dream sequence of sorts. Next thing you know, they make it through a covered bridge, and now they're in Hobbs End. Okay? And they check into the... And the covered bridge is fun. Okay, I grew up in PA, in southeastern PA, and there were covered bridges all over Lancaster County there, where I grew up. And I had a girlfriend who lived right in front of one. And there's a thing you do back there where, when you're young and stupid, you drive through the covered bridge and you honk while you're inside of it. Don't ask me why. It's just a thing we did. People do. I didn't. Not just me. And she lived right next to one, and you heard honking all day long. Enough to drive you mad. So if you're ever driving under a covered bridge, think about those people that live near there and how crazy you're driving them with your horn honking. But also honk your horn because it feels right. I don't know. It feels right. Okay, now back to the story. They go through the covered bridge. They don't honk. They make it to Hobbs End. They check into the hotel, which they reveal is part of the novels, as well as the nice old lady at the front desk. She's in the books. Styles, she's like, I guess we're in the novel now? And John Trent still rolling his eyes, like, whatever, this is the biggest publicity stunt ever. Then Styles blows his mind when she shows him out of the window the Black Church from the novels. And the Black Church is located at what they call the seat of an evil older than mankind and wider than the known universe. Because this is where a lot of pain and suffering occurred. Fun fact. The church they use in the shot, it was built by Catholics. But then the Greek Orthodox inhabited it for several years because of, you know, some church drama. Always church drama. So they go to look at the Black Church. Because now John Trent's a little bit curious. He's like, well, that is a little strange. That is in the books. And they get inside the church, and bam, Sutter Kane's inside. He reveals himself. And you'll notice there's some sconces that appear as inverted crosses, playing into the asylum scene where John was using the black crayon in his cell to draw all the black crosses. Again, I'll put the photo on Instagram. Now, Sutter Kane, like, things turn bad quick. Lightning strikes, doors open, inverted crosses. He unleashes the dogs. They attack. And now Trent and Styles, they run him back to the hotel. And after all of that, John Trent still thinks it's a hoax. He still thinks it's a publicity stunt. And here's the real son of a gun and thing about it. It turns out he's right. It was a publicity stunt. She reveals to him that Kane was actually sent away as a publicity stunt. And it was only when they actually stumbled into this actual town of Hobbs that things got real, real quick. So, like, the whole time Styles was playing along, but then after they get through the covered bridge and they go to the hotel, at that point she was like, oh, no, what happened here? Well, this is weird. So he was right all along, but then she drops the truth bomb on him like, dude, this wasn't part of the publicity stunt. So Hobbs End, this marks the end of everything. That's symbolically what the place represents. Like I said, it's the devil's butthole. And people start turning into things. And they're told they need to read the book to see how it happens. And basically, the fiction will become reality at Hobbs End.
All right. What's it about, the new one?
It's about the end to everything. And it starts here in this place with an evil that returns and takes over Hobbs End piece by piece. Starting with the children, it's about people turning into things, creatures that aren't human anymore.
It's fiction, Styles. Fiction.
We need to read the new book to find the way out.
How's that gonna help?
We could skip to the ending.
Stars, I really hope you're making this up. I really do, because if you're not, you're actually crazy.
Please, Trent. Don't make me do this alone.
Hey. Are you coming with me? Fine.
So things start going weird. Styles takes the car. She leaves John Trent behind. She's like, deuces. And this is a great scene in the movie. The front desk lady, this nice little old lady, she what John Trent doesn't see when he goes down to the front desk, she's got her husband naked and chained up to her ankle on the floor, hidden from public view. Because it turns out she's crazy too. Then John Trent, he goes to the bar, he's talking to some locals, and they tell him that Kane was messing with something inside of that church, and it leaked out, and it started messing with all the kids. It goes after the kids first. Well, Styles, being stupid, she gets in the car and she bounces, but she doesn't go home. She doesn't go back through the covered bridge honking the horn. No, she goes to the black church to talk to Sutter Kane, like, hey, bro, like, what are you doing? This isn't it. This isn't what we agreed upon. And again, we see some inverted crosses on the wall. I'll post the image. And the inside of the church was filmed somewhere else on a set. So don't be concerned that they went inside an actual church and put inverted crosses up. This is this was a set. Now, Kane, she goes in there. He's typing away. And he reveals that the demons told him what to write.
You can edit this one from the inside. Looking out. It's funny, isn't it? For years, I thought I was making all this up.
But they were telling me what to write. Come looking for the new Bible. It starts the change. Helps you see.
So he says that he thought he was making up the fiction, but really it was demons telling him what to write, which gave him the power to create reality. Therefore, he is now a god. And he reveals that he's writing the new Bible, and this will be the catalyst of the apocalypse, the great revealing. And guess what the title is? It's called In the Mouth of Madness. And she gets a glimpse of it, and she instantly sees the entire past, present, and future. You get some flashes of demonic aliens and stuff. And next thing, she goes back to the hotel with John Trent, warns him not to read the book. And she's like panicked. She's like, I'm losing me, which is like terrifying. And again, a nihilistic reference to the thing where man loses himself. Man can't even have the Descartes, I think, therefore I am, because the alien presence takes over, the demonic presence takes over. And how curious that Sutter Kane was told how to write this book through the demons, which is just like how Aleister Crowley wrote the Book of the Law through a spirit, Awaz, which is a demon. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. I think so. Said Awaz was Lucifer. I guess it depends on what angle you look at Lucifer at. But this also ties into the idea we've talked about many times with creativity and the mob zone and entering the Dayoth, entering the dark abyss, to unlock the creativity of the artistic mind. Kenneth Grant called it the source of artistic impulses. And this is exactly what you see in the film. So John, he sees the whole town descending into madness, and he keeps telling himself, this is not reality. And one town member tells him, reality isn't what it used to be. Again, a very fitting COVID great reset idea of the new normal. It's only when the consensus takes over that reality changes. Now, John, he's on the run. These wild-ass demons are taking over the town. And he settles into a confession booth. And Sutter Kane's on the other side talking to him through the booth. And you hear him criticize religion, and he says how people never believed it enough for it to take root into reality. Whereas the novels he wrote, these fictional tales, have been accepted by more people as reality than the Bible. Therefore, he is God.
Do you want to know the problem with places like this? With religion in general? It's never known how to convey the anatomy of horror. Religion seeks discipline through fear, yet doesn't understand the true nature of creation. No one's ever believed it enough to make it real. The same cannot be said of my work.
Your books aren't real.
But they've sold over 1 billion copies. I've been translated into 18 languages. More people believe in my work than believe in the Bible.
You got a point.
I think you know it.
There has to be some kind of an explanation for what I've seen tonight. Sort the shit out later, but right now there has to be some kind of a simple fucking explanation.
Always looking for the con. Even now you're trying to rationalize.
You must try reading my new one. The others have it quite in effect. But this one will drive you absolutely mad.
So I'm told.
Make the world ready for the change. It takes its power from new readers, new believers. That's the point. Believe. When people begin to lose their ability to know the difference between fantasy and reality, the old ones can begin their journey back. The more people who believe, the faster the journey. And by the way the other books have sold, this one is bound to be very, very popular.
So Kane tells John, look, you got to read the new book so it can prepare the world for the change that's coming. It fuels the change through mass belief so the old ones can begin the journey back. And the old ones is a direct reference to H.P. Lovecraft's Aliens. The aliens that created man. The ancient aliens. So John, he is informed that he will be returning Kane's In the Mouth of Madness book to the publisher. Kane says, you cannot want to do this all you want. I will make you. He says, I think, therefore you are. Implying that John was written in the book as a piece of fiction. Mind-blowing revelation. John refuses to believe that. He's like, no. But this is all about nihilism. Your thoughts aren't even your own. You're not even real. Kane is saying that his life isn't real. It was created by him. He is the new God, and he will do as he's told. And then we cue the great 90s visual effects. Kane sort of rips apart like a book, and he melts into this portal that opens up to the other side and tears open the veil to the demonic creatures, the old ones, the aliens are coming through. And they chase John Trent back through a portal from which he wakes up. Now John Trent, he wakes up with the In the Mouth of Madness book in his hand. But curious enough, he's at a crossroads. Again, I'll put the image on the Instagram. He's at a crossroads, just like old Robert Johnson's Faustian Bargain. You know who I'm talking about. The old blues singer, the soul to soul of the devil at the crossroads. That's a tale as old as time, the Faustian Pact. Talked about it many times. But he's standing there at the crossroads, and a newspaper boy comes across his path and tells him basically where he can find the highway, and John's like, okay, cool. Because John's just like chilling in the middle of the road like with a book, and that's it. Fun fact, that paper boy is Hayden Christensen, who would later become the emotionless Darth Vader character in the Star Wars film. Anakin. Is it Anakin? Anakin Skywalker. Now, John, he hitchhikes back to town, he gets a motel, and he mysteriously receives a package at the front desk. It's, again, the manuscript for Sutter Kane's new book, but John doesn't want this. He's like, man, I don't want these books. I'm not doing anything with it. He wants to get rid of it, so he burns it page by page in the sink. Then here comes Sutter Kane. He pops up, tells him, look, I'm God, and I'm not going anywhere. You're going to do this. And he's proving to John that through his mental emanations, through the stroke of the pen, he can create reality in any way that he wants. He tells John his favorite color is blue, and then boom, everything that John sees is blue. Another fun fact, they claim that every actor in the film actually has blue eyes as part of this idea that the whole film you're witnessing the projection of the artist manifesting reality. I don't know if I buy that because Linda Stiles looks like she has, dark eyes, like brown eyes or whatever. Maybe they're just talking about the scene where it happens on the bus. I don't know. So John, he gets to the publisher to relay the story about what happened. Charleston Heston, he's the president of the Arcane Publishing. And he tells John Trent, he's like, not only does Stiles never exist, you're making that up, but you already returned the manuscript. Don't you remember? They published it already. There's a movie coming out next month. And again, another mind-blowing moment. John is disturbed by this idea because he knows that the more people read the book, the more people will believe, and the more likely that the alien old one demons will manifest as reality. And on the news, you hear them talk about epidemics of violence and paranoid schizophrenia and all this wild stuff that's already going on. It's already going down. Which again, to reference Prince of Darkness, there's a discussion that the students have at the church, at the hood-ass church, about homeless Alice Cooper, and they think he's paranoid schizophrenic, and all the homeless people are paranoid schizophrenia. So we're coming up on the end of the movie. John, he's completely nuts at this point. He's all screwed up. Now he's got the axe in the trench coat. And he starts hacking people to bits. And boom, now we're back in present day. We're at the insane asylum. There's crosses all over the walls. And he tells the doctor that the human race will be a bedtime story because Sutter Kane caused this epidemic and the old ones are coming to destroy humanity. Then, the asylum presumably gets taken over by the aliens, and a presence opens up John Trent's cell door. He steps out, walks past all the carnage. Turns out he was right. He goes to the town, the deserted town, and there's a local movie theater. You remember those? There was these places where you used to sit down with like 50 people, and there was a big screen, and you would watch movies with all these people. It was wild. And so he goes into one of those and he's watching a movie, and it turns out they're playing In the Mouth of Madness, the movie that he's in. And he sits down, he's got his popcorn, he's watching the entire experience all alone, cue the maniacal laughter, everything's gone crazy. Boom, end of film. Now, fun fact, before we wrap this up, if you watch the credits, which I did like a real psychopath, you'll see a statement at the end that says, human interaction was monitored by the Interplanetary Psychiatric Association. The body count was high, the casualties are heavy. What does it mean? I don't know. I found it very bizarre. I Googled it, and a couple of people made mention of this, I guess. I'm not the only one to notice it. No final conclusion on what it was. But I got a final conclusion for you on what In the Mouth of Madness was. And we're going to wrap up our conversation about the Carpenter Apocalypse Trilogy. It's been a fun ride, my friends. But this final film is all about nihilism through the alien manifestation through entertainment. This time is very much borrowed from H.P. Lovecraft. It's set in New England, just like Lovecraft's novels, such as Dunwich Horror. And in some ways, he's kind of like the predecessor to Stephen King, I suppose, because Stephen King writes all of his stuff set in Maine. But like H.P. Lovecraft, if you picture Stephen King, if he was like an anti-Semite racist that looked like Mark Zuckerberg, that would be H.P. Lovecraft. So, if you want to know more about the Lovecraft connections, there's a book called The Case of Charles Dexter Ward that has elements very similar to this film. Because the protagonist starts and finishes the tale in an insane asylum. In one of the clips I played to you, you heard Kane talk about how he's bringing the old ones back through his book. Because it's a magical spell. Just like in H.P. Lovecraft stories of ritualistic channeling. And in the scene where Sutter Kane rips apart and melts into the portal, we hear of the illimitable gulf of the unknown, which is a term that comes from H.P. Lovecraft's book, The Rats in the Walls. Previously, there were other H.P. Lovecraft excerpts, like when they discuss the Black Church from The Haunter in the Dark. So make no mistake about it, the film is influenced by Lovecraft, and it is part of the Cthulhu mythos. Now, what you may be asking, I've never read a Lovecraft book. I've tried. I want to enjoy them. I can't do it. The flowery language is too hard for me to grasp. I don't get it, which is a real bummer because they don't do a great job of portraying the movies. They've got a notorious track record of movies being completely butchering Lovecraft stories. And the two best movies are In the Mouth of Madness and the Nick Cage Color of the Shape of the Color. You know what I'm talking about. Those were the two best ones, in my opinion. And in one of the clips, you hear the crux. In one of the clips I played, you hear the crux of this whole concept I'm laying out in Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Sutter Kane says it requires mass subscription to create the new reality. This is the UAP disclosure idea I'm presenting. The thoughts become beliefs, become reality. The media understands this. They manifest the reality that they seek. That's why billionaires are insistent upon buying media companies. They're buying the news, literally. Why? It's also why Kobe Bryant and LeBron James started their own multimedia company. It's also why Tom DeLonge is rolling out UAP UFO disclosure through To the Stars Academy. They're rolling out a series of fiction and nonfiction books and films. And the parallels to all that to In the Mouth of Madness are quite uncanny. As Freemason Tom DeLonge is he's the Sutter Kane character, filling the mass consciousness with the beliefs he'd like to manifest into reality. And the UAP disclosure movement will inevitably convert into a foundation for the new religion, the one that worships alien gods from another dimension. And the film shows us what happens when a prolific writer of fiction is able to influence reality to start a brand new religion. Which isn't too far from the true story of UFO religions, such as the Church of Scientology, started by L. Ron Hubbard, or Thelema, started by Aleister Crowley. So, In the Mouth of Madness turns out to be more nonfiction than fiction. That's the scariest thing about the movie. All right, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the John Carpenter Apocalypse Trilogy. It's been fun. They're three of my favorite films of all time. So, if you like horror movies, if you like 80s, if you like John Carpenter, you've already seen them then. But if you haven't, you're in for a real treat. You're ever a real treat. All right, thank you for your support. I know I've been telling you to follow me here, follow me there, and things got real weird, but censorship was a real son of a gun. So as of right now, you know, I'm on all the platforms, and hopefully it just stays that way, and you can pick which one you like the most. So thank you if you're on Patreon, thank you if you're on Rockfin, thank you if you're in the VIP section, my own personal Patreon I got going. And until next time, stay woke.